passages in the book in Galatians after tonight. And as it was in last week's message, tonight we come to another one of the great truths of the Bible. There's a lot of great truths in the Bible, but when I say great truths in the Bible, I really mean great truths found in the book of Galatians. And we could just list them one after another after another. But last week we did look at a great truth, and tonight we'll look at another great truth found in the Bible, particularly in this book of Galatians. After exhorting the believers in Galatia and warning them that things that they should avoid, remember we saw that in chapter 5, beginning in verse number 3 through chapter 6 and verse number 8. So now we find the Apostle Paul begins to offer some words of encouragement that we'll read in our text in just a moment or two. And I believe that Paul probably would have known that they would have been feeling a little bit overwhelmed with all the responsibilities that they have in the Christian life. You say, well, how do you know that? Because Paul was a preacher, Paul was a missionary, Paul was a human being, no doubt. And if he, no doubt, at times felt overwhelmed, you and I sometimes as well would feel overwhelmed. So I believe that he had a little bit of inkling that they were feeling overwhelmed with all the responsibilities of their Christian life. And I believe Paul, better than anyone else, knew the weariness that could and often does come by doing the work of the ministry. He ends his warning about sin. He talks about the works of the flesh and the deceitfulness of the world. And then by encouraging the Galatians, and oh, by the way, guess what? That includes you and I as well. He encouraged them to remember the joyful harvest that you and I will reap if we do good and stay faithful. Because the ministry involves spiritual warfare, all of us have a tendency to feel the burden of the work of the ministry. You don't have to be in the full-time service of the Lord to feel the burden of the ministry. Sometimes you feel that burden when you're preparing your Sunday school lessons for your children's church or for Patch the Pirate or for a Bible club, and you feel the burden. And so all of us can understand oftentimes this area of burden that we feel. The danger of growing weary in well-doing comes from our own human nature opposing us. You say, what is our own human nature? That's our flesh. But also comes from the outward disturbances caused by the world and the devil. So we could simply say that the flesh, the world, and the devil oftentimes causes weariness to come to us as we seek to serve the Savior here on this earth. Growing weary and doing good is always a danger in the life of a Christian. There is no Christian that could be exempt from this matter of being weary, particularly those who possess some degree of spiritual maturity. It seems like the ugly man likes to attack those who have a little bit of spiritual maturity and seem to do maybe just a little bit more than anybody else. Not that they're anybody, because everybody is a somebody, we heard in a message not too long ago. But to some extent, those that can grow weary have a tendency to grow weary are those that seemingly have their cup full, if not overflowing. So let's stand this evening as we read Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9, and we pray. And then we'll think on this thought this evening, be not weary, be not weary. Father, we come before you today. We are so thankful for the scriptures, Father. I thank you for this one particular verse in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Father, I pray, Lord, as we would think about us as a body of believers here at Charing Baptist Church, Father, you'll help us to understand that we are not to be overcome in weariness. We're not to become weary in well-doing. And Father, in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. So, Father, would you have your will and way during this service tonight? Challenge our hearts, Father. And, Father, I pray we'll apply these truths to our life. We pray and ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated. The Bible said, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I wanted to notice, first of all, this evening in verse number 9, in the first part of that verse, notice the biblical challenge. The biblical challenge. Notice what the challenge is. It's not to grow weary. That's the challenge for you and I, to not grow weary. I think Paul uses the same thought in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3 and verse 13, where he says this. He says, but ye brethren, be not weary and well-doing. So we find that Paul understood this idea about becoming weary and doing good for the Lord. There was perhaps a problem in the church of Galatia. There was also a problem in the church of Thessalonica. That word weary means to be utterly spiritless. It means to be wearied out. It means literally to be exhausted. You see, Satan does not want us to be involved in well-doing, so he'll do all that he can if he finds you doing good things or well-doing to discourage you. Paul writes in Romans 2, in verses 6 and 7, he says this, who? And that who is not referring to none other than God himself. So he says, who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who by the patient continuance and well-doing seek the glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Someone once wrote this, many Christians are like children. They will sow and reap the same day. You see, it's easy to become tired of sowing and to be anxious for the harvest. And we can get tired of continually sowing the gospel seed and presenting the gospel to lost people. And oftentimes we get anxious for the harvest just like children are. A father came home to his son's Little League baseball game. And he found his son, and his son was in the dugout, and he said, son, what's the score? His son replied, Daddy, it's 18-0. His father said, oh, my son. He said, you don't look discouraged. He said, Dad, why should I be? We haven't even come to bat yet. I don't know about you, but that's some good optimism right there, amen. Praise the Lord. First, let me say this as we think about this biblical challenge, that weariness develops over time. Weariness develops over time. And this phrase, grow weary, speaks of exhaustion. It speaks of losing our heart. And God is exhorting us not to let our lives get to the point of spiritual exhaustion. We're in danger of becoming exhausted when we aren't keeping up with our walk with the Lord and keeping it fresh every day. You say, well, how do we do that? The same thing have I said 1,000 times since I've become the pastor here. It's by staying in the Word and staying in constant communication, by fellowship with prayer. That's what will keep you from becoming exhausted spiritually. It reminds me once again of this verse, that kind of our theme verse for Galatians series 3 and D, Galatians 5 and verse 16, where the Bible says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, walking in the Spirit brings life. Not just physical life, but joy in the Lord. Here's an example of that. When people become saved because perhaps of your testimony, maybe you're a witness for them, and you get excited about that. So if walking in the Spirit brings life and brings joy, then the opposite is true as well, that living according to the flesh brings death. It brings death to your joy, death to the excitement in your life, and to people not getting saved. You see, you and I must maintain our walk with the Lord. It's vitally important. Everything of our Christian walk, life, and testimony rests on this fact of our maintaining our walk with the Lord in a daily basis. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, the Bible says this, speaking about our Savior. And in the morning, rising up great while before day, he, or Jesus, went out and departed into the solitary place and there prayed. If you have been coming to our Wednesday prayer and Bible study time, you have learned from those Wednesday evening Bible teaching times that Jesus was as busy as every one of us was. And we could look at his life and look at our life, and we could say, I could fit right in there because I'm as busy as Jesus was. In fact, his was even worse than us because he faced a growing opposition to his ministry, particularly when he began to preach and teach about who he was, literally being the Son of God. But even though he had a busy ministry schedule, he saw the importance of having a balanced life, a balance between service for God and devotion to God. And my friends, sometimes I think we get this backwards, as though we have more service to God than we have devotion with God, and it creates an imbalance in our life, and that imbalance keeps us from doing unbalance keeps us from being weary in the work of the Lord. So guess what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to guard our devotional life. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." Here's the truth. If I'm going to suffer for Jesus, I want to suffer for Jesus because I'm walking in the Spirit, not because I'm walking in the flesh, amen? If I'm going to suffer for Him, I want it to be suffer for Him for the right reasons. I'm simply saying this, that our weariness and our desire to serve the Lord often develops over time. So weariness develops over time. But then notice, secondly, weariness depletes the soul. If you've been have taken the classes at Hampton Road School of the Bible, or you have taken any Bible class, or sat in some good Sunday school classes, or heard some good teaching and preaching about the doctrine of man, you would have learned particularly this semester about the trichotomy of man. That is, that man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. And the soul houses the intellect. The soul houses the emotion. The soul houses the will of man. And this phrase, "be not weary in well-doing," is an encouragement to not to get to the point of exhaustion, of losing our heart to serve God here on this earth. The good news for you and I is simply this, that the inner man can be strengthened even when our body is tired. You say, well, how is that possible? Well, in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, Paul says this, For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," that means our physical body, "although it perishes or is dying, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Thank God for that, amen. Even though we're having a bad day in the flesh, our inward man, our soul and our spirit can be renewed day by day to keep us from being weary in well-doing. For our inward man to be renewed, I think it takes a couple of things. First of all, we must consider Christ. In Hebrews 12 and verse 13, the Bible says this, "For consider him that endured such contradiction." That word contradiction means opposition, or it means rebellion. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind." So in other words, think on what Christ had to endure. Think about him, what he endured. He didn't get faint. He didn't get weary. And knowing that Jesus will not ask any more of you than what he experienced when he walked here on this earth, and that he knows exactly what you're going through, he will renew our strength for the task that he has called us to do. I don't know about you, but I get excited about that I can be renewed for his work. Well, we must consider Christ, but then secondly, if we're going to be renewed by the inner man, we must continue on. We must be determined to have patience and be patient in the Lord. You know, we live in a very hurried society, and we preached about this and talked about this before. But just for an example, if an internet page takes longer than 8 seconds to load up, that site is going to lose about 1/3 of all their visitors, amen? Well, my friends, that's really impatient. You know what? You have some patience when you used to have to dial into the internet and you hear this beep, 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 beep. Someone sends you a picture and literally 45 minutes before the picture would download, amen. That's being patient. And listen, if you would have lived in the days of that internet, you would have been probably a very impatient person. You would see the picture literally line by line. You come back 5 minutes later, you might see this much. Next way, you might see their eyes. Then you'll see their nose. 45 minutes later, you'll see the whole headshot. Listen, we need to learn to be patient. We live in a very hurried society. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, the Bible says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know," get this now, "that your labor is not in vain." Oftentimes, we get to that point, we say, what's the use? Those bus kids aren't going to come. Why do I have to go out on Saturday and knock on the door? Why do I have to go out and pick them up? They're not going to listen that when the ladies teach them the gospel there in the junior church settings. They're not going to pay attention. Why do I have to witness to my friend again? I've already witnessed to him 2 or 3 times before, and he just blew me off. Understand and know this, for as much as you know, that your labor is not in vain. If you think about this? That everything that you do that brings honor and glory to God is something that God has entrusted you with, has tasked you with. You'll come to understand it doesn't matter how meaningless or meaningful it might be. You're doing it for His honor and for His glory, and we're doing it, and your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And all those mundane tasks that each of us have to do that we don't like doing, but they just have to be done, you do it for Him, for His honor, for His glory. Well, not only is there a biblical challenge to not grow weary, but notice something else in verse number 9. Notice a basic reminder, a basic reminder. Notice what the scriptures say, ye shall reap. What a basic reminder that is. We are going to reap. In James 5, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says this. Again, we found this wonderful word. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Then notice this. Establish your heart. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. That word "stablish" literally means to make stable, to place firmly, to set fast, to fix, to strengthen, to make firm, to render constant, confirm in one's mind. Understand this evening that if we don't faint by establishing our hearts, I believe there's three things that we can reap. You say, well, I'm glad you told me that, Pastor. What are they? Well, I'm glad that you asked. Notice, first of all, we reap growth. We're going to reap growth. I love what James says in James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He says this, knowing this, that the trying of our faith worketh patience, but that patience have her perfect work. In other words, we could say, don't faint under the trial. And then he goes on to say that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. There's a lot of Christians today who spend 6 days a week sowing their wild oats, sowing to the flesh, and they come to church on Sunday morning and they pray for crop failure. Let me tell you, that is not the way that God expects you and I to be. So we reap growth, but then notice something else. We reap rewards. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, Paul writes this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only to me, but unto all them that love his appearing. The three keys to reaping a reward if we faint not are these. Number one, to have a good fight. Number two, to finish all that God has called you to do. And then number three, to keep the faith through it all, no matter what comes down your way. So let me ask you this million-dollar question this evening. How are you doing? Are you fighting well? Are you even in the fight? One of my favorite movies that I watched many, many years ago was called Top Gun. And basically, Tom Cruise played a fighter pilot, and he lost his Rio officer through an accident. And because of that, he was shaken up, and he was called back to the sea duty, and he was on launch getting ready to go because some enemy airplanes were coming in, and they launched him off. And he came right to the point of attack. But about the time that he should have shot and attacked, guess what? He flew off. He couldn't do it. And I kept thinking, get in the fight. Get in the fight. Come on, get in the fight. His wheel was yelling at him. Come on, man. He's going to die. Get in the fight. Get in the fight. So let me ask you this. Maybe it's not all you're fighting well. It should be maybe to some of you. Are you even in the fight? Have you decided that you're going to be in the fight of a lifetime for the Lord Jesus Christ? So you're fighting well. And then secondly, do you finish all that God has for you? Or do you just up and quit on God? I am sick and tired of people that just up and quit on God. Without any reason, without any rhyme, without any excuses, they just say, I'm quitting, I'm done, I'm moving over here, I'm going there, I'm not doing this, I'm giving up my ministry. And listen, I think God is fed up with people that say, I quit. Let me ask you, are you a quitter on God? I hope not. Then thirdly, how are you doing? Is your faith strong? Even in the midst of trials. You know, God doesn't bring trials into our life to deflate us. He brings trials into our life to display us, that we might see Him for who He is and what He can do for us. And so I ask you, is your faith still strong as it was at the beginning of a trial, as it was at the end of the trial? Well, we see as we will look at this basic reminder, we can reap growth. Thank God for that. We can reap rewards. Then notice, thirdly, we can reap souls. That favorite verse in Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteousness is the tree of life." And get this last part, "And he that winneth souls is wise." You know, some of the greatest missionaries that ever have been sent forth by their local New Testament church to faithfully spread the Christian gospel. Some of them have waited a long time before seeing the fruit of their labors. Two such men like that were a man by the name of William Carey. He went to India. Another man by the name of Adoniah Judson. He went to the nation of Burma. Both of these men waited 7 long years before they saw their first convert saved. Think about it. Don't get weary in well-doing. If that would have been you, after a couple of years, you would have said, "I'm going home on furlough after 4 years. I don't even know if I'm coming back to this country." They don't want to hear about God. They don't want to know about God. But they did not become weary in well-doing. They're reaping and are reaping for fainting not, or growth, rewards, and souls. So please don't faint or don't grow weary in your service for the Lord. Turning your Bibles to that famous verse in Isaiah chapter 40. You probably already know the verse. You might know it. 31. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. At least it wasn't a yawn this time. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. I still hear some pages turning. The Bible says in Isaiah 40 and verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk," and notice these last couple words, "and not faint." This is the purpose of the strength that the Lord gives us. The strength is to help us move forward and progress with the Lord Jesus Christ. This strength that He gives us isn't so that we can show off, but it's strength that we might move forward in our walk and work for the Lord Jesus Christ. So look at Isaiah 40 and verse number 31. As I began to study that verse and meditate upon it, I noticed something here. I noticed that the order of this verse seems strange to me. So if you think about it and look at it topically, you might agree that the order of this verse does seem strange. Notice, first we mount up with wings like eagles, and then we run, and then we walk. You and I might say, "Well, Pastor, that's the opposite. Oh, everyone knows we walk first, and then we run, and then we can mount up with wings like eagles." It might seem like this order is out of order, but really, let me help you tonight, it is not out of order. First, we need to recognize that we soar up to the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:6 tells us this, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And after we're raised up in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, then we can set ourselves on the course to run the race. Hebrews 12:1 says this, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And once we do that, then we're in a good place to walk the walk. Paul says this to the church at Colossae in chapter 2 and verse 6, "As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him." So to man, as you and I would look at this order, we would say it's backwards. But to God, it's the perfect way that He wanted it to be. Well, not only is there a biblical challenge to not grow weary, there's a basic reminder, but then notice lastly, there's a binding condition. Notice the last part of that verse. If we faint not, if we faint not. Notice, first of all, that we must not faint in the end. That word faint gives us the idea of giving up just before the end. You know, I found this out, that there's too many times that Christians give up right before the finish line, right before the trial is over with. They just throw their hands up and they say, God, I'm done with you. I'm done with your son. I'm done with going to church. I'm done with those people. And right in the end of their trial, they give up. And God has the sunshine, the rewards, the blessings just right around the corner from where they are at. In 2 Corinthians 4:1, we find these words. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, faint not. You see, God has a work for every one of us to do. He has a work for me to do. But guess what? It's different than your work to do. But God in his mercy will help us to faint not. I'm reminded of Gideon, who was faint when he pursued fighting the Midianites. And we find this in Judges 8 and verse 4. So Gideon was faint, but in his faintness, in his weariness, he still pursued the Midianites. Notice what it said in Judges 8, 4. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and 300 men that were with him. Notice this next word, faint. Yet pursuing. So you know what this tells me? That we must not faint in the end. Maybe you feel weary. Maybe you feel discouraged. Maybe you feel like things aren't going your way. But my friend, it's not time to give up just yet. Amen. Oh, still pursue. We must not faint in the end because of the binding condition. And notice, secondly, we must not forget the eternal. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 15 through 18, the Bible says this, for all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For those things which are seen are, get this, temporal. But those things which are not seen are eternal. As we begin to understand this binding condition, we must not forget the eternal. You say, well, Pastor Carroll, what is eternal? Our number one, our souls are eternal. In Mark chapter 8, verses 36 through 37, the Bible said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, our souls are eternal. Our stewardship is eternal. I love these verses. Turn in your Bible to Matthew 6, verses 19 through verse number 21. Matthew 6, that's the first book in the New Testament, in case you didn't remember. Matthew 6, verses 19 through verse number 21. I can't tell you how many times that I knew exactly where a book was, but my fingers would not find it. And that's pretty embarrassing when you're in the preacher and you say, turn there, and you're turning and flipping and turning and flipping, and you know what? Just break down and go to the index if you can't find it. Just one of them things that happens sometimes, amen? Stewardship is eternal. Look at Matthew 6 and verse number 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart be also. I think about the great Christian Andrew Murray. He wrote this. The world asks, what does a man owe? They want to know, what kind of car do you drive? What kind of house do you have? How many square feet is it? How much do you have to pay for it? What kind of toys do you have in your garage? The world asks questions like that to a man. What does a man own? But Christ asks, how does he use those things that he has given you? And my friend, that's what we ought to be worried about. We ought to be worried about if your brother has a brand new car or a brand new house or you know, lots of money in the bank. That ought not to be our worry. Our worry ought to be, how does he use that? Does he use it for the honor and glory of God? Well, praise God. That's probably why that God has so abundantly blessed him, because he uses what he has for his honor and glory. Well, we see thirdly, the scripture is eternal. 1 Peter 1, verses 23 and 25, the Bible says this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For as the flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass, the grass withereth, and the flowers thereof falleth away. But notice verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So the scripture, thank God, is eternal. Well, we see that we must not faint in the end. We must not forget the eternal. And notice, lastly, we must have faith for the future. We must have faith for the future. In 2 Corinthians 5, 7, we find these wonderful words, for we walk by faith, not by sight. J.G. Holland said this, faith draws the poison from every grief, takes the sting from every loss, and quenches the fire of every pain. And again, George Mueller wrote this, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of faith is the end of anxiety. How true that is. We must have faith for the future. If faith saves us, if faith sustains us, we have to have faith in the future that God has for us. Well, as we close this verse and this message this evening, all of us have experienced physical weariness at some point in our life. There's no doubt we're human. We experience that in our life. But the Bible commands us to not be weary in well-doing. Not to be weary in doing of those good things that we do for God Himself. And if we have our hope in Christ, and we daily refresh ourselves and refresh our faith through Him and His Word by constant and regular, consistent communication with Him, guess what? You and I will have the strength necessary to continue serving God and others all the days of our life. The biblical challenge for you tonight is this, don't grow weary. The basic reminder is, ye shall reap. And then the binding condition is this, if we faint not. Galatians 6, 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's pray.